Government is everywhere. Personally, nationally, globally, and heavenly. Welcome to Are You Real Government, the premier media outlet where we discuss what's going on around the world and how to release God's governance, the kingdom, into it. Each week, we'll be equipping you with kingdom understanding and giving you the inside track to government leaders around the globe. Now get ready to get real about government with Are You Real Government.
What in the world is going on? And more importantly, what in your world is going on? This is Dub Alexander, spiritual advisor to the influential and host of Are You Real Government? Today, you will hear from my friend and kingdom colleague, Vanessa Chavez, all about her call and journey in the government mountain. Don't forget that you can catch John Fuller, the voice of manifestation and the founder of the original Are You Real podcast every Wednesday right here on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcast. All right, so I'm here in Amarillo, Texas with one of my good friends, Vanessa Chavez. She is the founder and president of Community for Country. She's the author of The Rampart, which is available on Amazon. She's one of the pastors at Kingdom Life Center in Canyon, Texas. She's a prayer warrior, an intercessor, a prophetic voice, and a fellow government mountain kingdom comrade. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I've been looking forward to getting to sit down with you and pick your brain and provide the opportunity for you to share your heart for our nation on this platform. And so let's start by, if you could just fill in our listeners a little bit on what your organization, Community for Country, is, the heart behind it, the vision for it, and its activity so far.
Yeah, so Community for Country really was birthed out of kind of a culmination of a few things that led to it. And so one of those was the summer before the 2016 presidential elections, recognizing how important this election would be, not just for our nation, but for the world. There were some citywide prayer events that were going on, and I showed up at one ready to pray, and there were like 10 people in the room. And I know that it's not about numbers, but I have been learning, Holy Spirit's been showing me the importance of the representation of the voices that are in the room and the unity of those voices, and how the remnant, it always only ever takes a remnant, but the remnant has to be made up of the full remnant, like the generations were needing to be represented, the different ethnic groups that make up who we are, the different people groups. And so I thought, man, it's a citywide event and there's 10 people here and we got to have more praying for our nation than that. And so that was one of the things that kind of sparked, okay, we got to do something about this and get the actual city here. So also the next thing that added to this, seeking the Lord out on what was to come, was the nationwide prayer gatherings that have been going on, been streaming online for our nation and on television, aired live, and watching some of these events going down and just hearing prayers against specific candidates and against people just grieved my heart and just realized that we're missing it. You know, there's people that are hearing these prayers not knowing that God is always for people. God loves people. And there's times when there are people in positions who make choices that aren't lining up with his word, but he's always for people, and our prayers should be that way. And just to see that there is just a longing and a cry of how do we pray when there's opposition and it's coming through people, but what does that look like? And how can we be that voice to the nation and the world on what it looks like to be in a battle over a nation and to fight that battle in the heavenlies and still honor people. The third element that kind of added towards this was that I was just hearing voices, Christian voices, from behind pulpits, Sunday school teachers, people that I know for years as prayer warriors had just started speaking out just a hopelessness and a despair. True. That there's just no hope for America. We've crossed a line. There's no going back. I've heard pulpits preaching that this is the end times. We just need to gather our canned food and hide out in the basement until Jesus comes. And everything in me is like, no, the church has forgotten who she is.
That's so
she
true.
Doesn't know who she is. And America has forgotten who she is. She doesn't know who she is. And it is time to awaken the church and the nation to who we are, because we are the ones with the answers and the hope, and we're called to bring light, and we are born for such a time as this. And our nation is here to impact the world needs the things that we are created to carry. And so there was that. And then the fourth thing that just added to seeking out the Lord and the birthing of community for country is just all of a sudden I started hearing all of the prophetic words that have been spoken over the panhandle and our state, about the nation. Over several decades, there have been words that are spoken that what happens in the panhandle is going to affect the state, and what happens in the state is going to affect the nation, and of course what happens in the nation is going to turn around and impact the world. And so just hearing that there was all these words from different voices at different times, and recognizing that, well, we're the ones that are here. Like, what is our role? What do we do? How do we fulfill the call that's on our area, our territory, and our state, and on behalf of our nation? And so just began seeking the Lord, and I just saw this call to prayer, but a new way that people hadn't been seeing or knowing. And so we put out a call to invite people from all over the city. The Lord gave 10 arenas that we were to pray over as a people, and then to find people who carried natural and spiritual authority in each of those arenas to lead in the prayer, and then to have the people there, to add their voices of agreement with that, so that that could literally echo out. We prayed focused over the city and then the state and then the nation, just like the prophetic words had all been aligning. And so, it was awesome. We also wanted it to be just under His name, the name of God alone. So we didn't have any names of people who were leading the prayers, the leaders that were there. We had an ambassador there to pray over racial healing for the lands. We had one of the Texas Board of Education was there leading over our education system. And so there were just several. We had a sheriff pray over our first responders. So there were several arenas, and we were also able just to pray over both of the candidates, everyone who was running at that time for the presidency, from the Potter County Courthouse lawn, from the actual steps of a courthouse. And just really cool what went on. And our news media actually aired our prayers praying over both candidates, you know, over the airways. It was just really, really a neat time at how God just brought it all together and the people in the place, and really feel like it cleared the air for some things to be able to come in behind, kingdom to come in there.
Yes, absolutely. I love a couple of things that you brought out there, just as far as being able to disagree with people and yet still honor them. Even, you know, to be able to disagree with someone and still love them. I feel like that's such a fallacy that's promoted in our culture today, that if you don't agree with me, then you don't love me. And I love how you've been able to navigate that. Obviously, everybody understands that politics are a super touchy issue. And yet you've been able to navigate that with such grace and bring true honor to people that you may violently disagree with, but you're still able to present the heart of God to them. I loved also how you touched on finding people that carry the spiritual authority and the natural authority to speak things out over the land. You know, we're called to pray from a priestly position, but also to declare from a kingly position. And you've been so wise to strategically find those people and position them correctly so that their words move out over our state and our nation. And so I just want to honor you for that. That's some really good kingdom strategy there. And I've also noticed how you have such favor to be able to hold an event like that on the county courthouse steps. And then I've seen you also have events in universities, which is another super touchy place to be able to come in and voice your opinion right now in our nation. But you carry a lot of favor in those areas, and so I'm excited to continue to watch what Community for Country does. And at the end of this, we'll have a place for you to be able to connect with Community for Country for all of our listeners.
Thank you.
If you would share with me your history behind how you found your calling to the government mountain. How did you become aware of that? And what was the point where you even realized that was a thing? Because I know for myself, I didn't even know that was a thing until a few years ago. Until I stepped into the fullness of the understanding of the kingdom and the Seven Mountain Strategy, all that. So what did that look like for you?
Yeah, that's a great question, because you start recognizing who you are, but not having any way to label that and going, what is this? So I will tell you, I started watching the movie, The Interpreter. Have you seen that movie?
I have not.
Okay. So I'm watching this movie, and it's all about, there's one of the interpreters that are in the room at the UN building, and she overhears an assassination plot against a president from her country. And so the movie kind of bases off of that. But I'm watching this movie and I'm seeing all of these countries' leaders and their chairs in the room. And I'm just going, I just need to be in that building. Like, I need to be in that room. And I'm thinking, who thinks that way? Like, that's just weird. Like, why do I need to be in that room? I just feel like I'm supposed to be in there and just touch these chairs or pray over these leaders or just be, have a voice in that room. And so that kind of, the other part I love about what that movie represented is that she loved her people. She loved her nation. And that's something that just really resonated with me. For those of you that have seen that movie, you know, she didn't quite go about fixing it in the right way. But you don't go and hold your leader at gunpoint to try to remind them who they are. But she just, her love for her people and her longing to remind her leaders and her people of who they are. And just her passion in that. And so so that movie just kind of, I don't know, maybe awakened a little bit of that in me. And I began to have dreams and visions of speaking with presidents and leaders and just thinking, man, what is this? I don't have a political science degree. I don't see myself running for an office or anything. Like, I don't know what this is, but I really knew it was from the Lord. And so just continue to hold those things and value the way he was speaking to me and go, okay, I don't understand this, but I know it's him. So I'm going to continue just to pray over that. I want to be a faithful steward of those things. And then just as time went on, it's kind of increased and started to increase these visions and these things. And then people started speaking out, recognizing that in me and confirming some of the things I'd been seeing. And then I went through LLBD's modules and just super huge confirmation. Like, this is who I am. Like, this is why I'm here. And this is why I'm always feel this way. This is why I'm so passionate about my country and why I've been seeing these things. And so, yeah, just kind of a culmination of those things.
Very cool. What is it about the government mountain that you love or that makes you come alive or that just keeps that passion going?
Yeah, that's a great question. One of the things about government is all throughout Israel's history in the Bible, you see that when their leader was serving the Lord, then the people were serving the Lord. But when their leader was serving the false gods, the people fell away from the Lord all throughout their history. And so I see the importance of a nation in who their leadership is and what their leadership does. And so just a recognizing of where our nation is and just also just the passion I have for our founding fathers and just the history of America, that's another one of the indicators for me that this is my mountain, is that I just feel their words almost when I read them. Like, I can see it. Like, I know you can relate. Like, man, there's just something about these words and about this nation and just a passionate for the birthing of this nation and what we are created and here to do and what was began way back in the 1600s, you know, with Robert Hunt at Cape Henry. Man, there's a call that still rings out over the land for us to rise up and be who we are. And it's not to be better than anybody or to lead everybody, but it's to be able to impact the world with light and with the resources and with the hope of the kingdom. And so, I just, there's a lot of things that kind of build into that of what makes me come alive, but I just see the role of the government and over the people and how it impacts and, also how the leaders of any nation have been given such a responsibility. And I think in our culture today, we have a tendency to lose sight of what leadership actually is and the responsibility that it carries and what's impacted by leadership, like how deep that impact goes. We lose sight of the big picture. I think in our culture today, it's such a instant gratification culture and such a what happens in my life right away, right now, that we lose sight of what we do today impacts generations and impacts people beyond our borders. Just our founding fathers, everything they did was for the future generation. And it's what made it such a powerful nation and made it such a powerful, the things that they did created who we can be today because they saw beyond the moment and they recognized their leadership was for more than just that moment in that time.
That's so good. I love that. So where do you see yourself in the government mountain in the future?
So, as I mentioned earlier, like I've had pictures and visions and dreams of just meeting with government leaders and world leaders and being able to bring just blueprints and answers. You know, the Bible talks about how in Isaiah chapter 9, it talks about how the government is on the shoulders, on Jesus' shoulders, and of his government will be ever increasing.
Yes.
And just to recognize that, you know, there's been such a lie of the enemy that government and church are not to be together. There's supposed to be a separation. But when you go back to the word, the author of it all, and it says, hey, he is the government. He is the answer. He is the way that government works. And he has all the answers in him. So if we're abiding in him, then we have all the answers.
Like, so good.
I don't have to know all the history and all the battles and all the things word for word. I just have to know him and have to abide in him. And if he's called me to be there, then I'm going to go and I'm just going to open my mouth and pour out the blueprint of heaven for that leader or that nation or that city that needs those answers in that direction. And so I see myself being an advisor to world leaders and governmental leaders on any level. I see myself at tables helping bring some solutions and problem solving to some of the world's deepest needs, because heaven holds all the answers. And so I get to be a carrier of what heaven has and release that out. And so that's where I see myself.
That's awesome. I totally agree with that, 100%. So now I'm going to ask you a really broad question. What do you believe God's heart is for the United States of America?
So I believe God's heart is always love, because it's who he is. There's been such a distortion of his heart just over people in general. But even over, you know, America has definitely made some decisions to move away from God and his ways. And just about every arena, we see that today. So God's heart is never, you know, in a place of angry, going to pour out wrath and going to punish, but his heart is always to restore, always to redeem, always to remind us of who we are, always to call us back and to bring in healing. And one of my heart passions is to help clear up the distorted image of God on the earth and in whatever ways that we can do that. So one-on-one in relationships with people who don't know him, and just words that we speak and things that we share everywhere we go. But I know his heart is for restoration. His heart is for purpose. Every single person, every single nation, big or small, wherever you land on the globe, has created with purpose and with a piece of him that this world needs and with answers that this world is crying out for. Individually and nations carry these things. And so I believe the heart of the Father over our nation is to awaken to who she is, who she was created and birthed to be, and to be able to rise up in the fullness of that so that we can turn around and pour out all that he's put within us to give out.
That's so good. I'm going to throw you a question that I didn't give you before. And okay. We can edit it out.
Or, awesome.
If you nail it and feel good about it, I'll leave it in. If you were able to speak to America as a person, what would you say to her right now?
Oh, man. That's a good question, a big question. I've come to a place where I realize so the magnitude of our words, even in little conversations and big ones. And so with questions like that, it's like, oh, what would Holy Spirit have me speak to America right now if America was a person? I think one of the biggest things that America needs to hear is that America has purpose. America, you are loved, and you're not broken beyond repair, and you have incredible wealth in who you are, not necessarily resource, but in the person of who you are as a nation, the piece of you, that piece of God that you carry and represent. And there's wholeness and there's healing and there's life and there's hope. I just think one of the biggest things that we're missing is hope. You know, earlier we talked about one of the reasons why Community for Country came about. And as I'm listening to these pastors and these people that I had heard for years be a voice of hope, now turning to be a voice of fear and despair and hopelessness, I just saw this picture, this movie. It's crazy how the mountains will come together and flow together. But have you ever seen The Patriot?
Yes.
So I'm hearing all this, and I'm feeling just this hopelessness that people are feeling, and knowing that it is never hopeless, because we serve a God who's the God of hope. And so how do we fix this? Like, okay, the church itself is finding that voice of hopelessness now. So the church is the voice of hope. And if the church is getting to that place where not the whole church, but the church in general is feeling hopeless, like, We got to turn this thing around. And I just saw this vision, this picture from the movie of The Patriot, where they're starting to retreat, and Mel Gibson like is watching them turn and run. And he runs and he grabs that flag and he lifts it and he starts running. And he says, hold the line. And he reminds them of who they are. He reminds them of why they're here. And I saw like voices, us individually, is like, I'm nobody special. I'm just me, you know, I'm just a person here who's a mom and a wife and a, you know, whatever, but like, I'm a carrier of the kingdom of heaven, and I have the ability to raise that flag. Like, there are some of us that are here that if we will just believe who we are, we can raise that flag and run back and go, hold the line and don't retreat, America, because God has purpose for you and there is hope for you in the church of America. Like, you're here to be the answer, not to hide out and wait for Jesus to come and
so
hold
good.
Your canned
come
foods
on.
Because it's going to get scary out there. Like, I listened to Are You Real? The last one with Dr. Egoff. And I loved what he said about, man, we don't need to be scared of the dark. Like, we're the light. We go in and we change the dark. We light it up. And so I'm feeling that mandate from heaven on behalf of all of the remnant that are here. Like, man, we need to raise that flag and we need to run and we need to voice with all of our breath. Like, there is hope for America and there is hope for the world and there are answers and there is purpose and there is life beyond this moment that we're in. And so, yeah.
So good. I'm glad I asked that question. You nailed that. That was awesome. So tell the people a little bit about your most recent trip to Washington, D.C., and just kind of what you picked up on in the spirit while you were there.
Awesome. So obviously I've been dying to get there, right? I like hear the city calling to me. Can't wait to go there. And just a little bit to share a little bit about how I even got there. Is that I knew that I was supposed to be there, especially after all this confirmation in his last couple years of just, this is who I am and this is my mountain, but is this the timing? So we just had a baby. And so in December we had the invitation to go to DC, but we had 4 months, he was 4 months old at the time. And I'm like, okay, how is this going to work? Are we supposed to be there? And so I'm literally just like, God, I know I'm supposed to be there, but is this the time? And I'm asking for confirmation and just waiting on him. And so, two things. One, I really, really had a longing to meet Dr. Ruth Mizell.
Yes.
And I had heard about her and the, just amazing who she is, and just a longing just to meet her. You know, I just felt like I was supposed to, like, there's some reason why I was supposed to meet her. And so, I just had been keeping that in prayer, and, also financially wasn't the best time for us to go on a trip, you know, but I'm like, God, if this is where you're supposed to be, then, you're the provider and it's going to be there. And so first podcast I listened to that day, first story he shares is about how there was this guy he really felt like he was supposed to meet, and he really wanted to meet this man. And he's like, I'm going to have dinner with this guy this year. I'm going to have to, I just need to meet this guy. And so he writes it in his prayer journal. And later on that, you know, a couple months later, he has dinner with this guy. And then the very next story he tells is how he was supposed to go on a trip, but they didn't have the funds for it. And so his wife is just going through the canisters in her kitchen, and out pops 100 pounds or whatever it was, the amount that she needed. Like, there was just instant cash in her kitchen container that wasn't there before. Like, provision was made. And so I'm like, okay, God, I'm hearing you. Like, this is the time. So I know everything is going to come into place. And so, so that's how we ended up going, and God just provided every single thing along the way. And, so when being there, it's just like, wow, I'm finally here. And I don't know about you, but there's moments when you're like, oh, I was born for this.
Yes.
You know, you're like, absolutely. Yes, I was born for this. And I believe all of us have something within us that's going to resonate that sound. And so just stepping into DC is like, okay, I was born for this. And I know I'm supposed to be here, and I know I will be here frequently. I don't know what that looks like. I don't have to. But I just say yes to that call. And so, it was awesome to be there, and it was super awesome to meet Dr. Ruth Mizell, and, just to hear her story. And, how she came to be where she's at. And as she went around the room, they asked us to share, you know, what, why we're here and what our purpose is. And I mentioned that part of my purpose is just to awaken for America to be awakened to who she is and awaken to that call. And she said, you know, people need to be told who they are. That's so important because you might not know who you are unless someone tells you. She's like, right? This is really important. And she talked about her own story about how she had nothing to do with politics. And someone came up to her and said, hey, you're supposed to go help the Bushes with their campaign. And she's like, I don't know anything about politics. She's like, no, that you're supposed to go do that. And she's like, okay. So she prayed about it. And then here she is, you know, for the last, what, 30 plus years, yeah. She's been in Government Mountain and didn't even know that that's where she was headed. And she said, somebody told me, the Lord sent someone to tell me who I am. And then as soon as I sought him out and walked into that, then I knew. And so it's like, people need to know who they are. And so that was just really cool to have that, like, okay, part of my job is to remind America of who she is. And that's a part of why I'm here. And so that was awesome. So many things that you could share, but one is just the recognition of, like, when you're in the place you're supposed to be, then doors open to you.
Yes.
That was so awesome to be there and just to see all these opportunities that opened up around us while we were there, just because we were there. Because there's all these cries for answers and cries for the things that you could just feel in the atmosphere. And as we're the ones that are carrying some of these answers directly from heaven, like, God's going to make those connections because there's a cry for it. And he's going to answer those cries through the people that are there to be answers. And so that was just really cool. And then the other thing that, really stuck out to share was that I just, as soon as we landed, I just thought, man, I really need to be at the Lincoln Memorial. Like, I just need to go there.
Right.
Gotta be there. And so we go there that next morning and we're freezing and it's awesome. And, I'm reading his speech that's inscribed on the wall. And, there's just this section that really stood out to me and, really spoke to me of the words of this nation was built on are still alive today. Like, they're still calling to us today. Like, there's still a mandate given by President Abraham Lincoln that is still crying out to us today to answer. And there's just, I'll just read a part of it here. Towards the end of his quote, it says, it is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead, we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. And I just was reading these words and just, man, like, that's still our mandate today. Like, that he's talking to us, those of us that are here, that the people went before us haven't sacrificed and died in vain, but we continue to carry on. And that's a part of, what I see as an answer to our nation is just the synergy of the ages coming together, like the synergy of the generations. And Dutch Sheets is huge voice on bringing, you know, the church is one church, not just today's church, like the church from the very beginning all the way through the end of time is one church. And we all are one body that carries out the one work of the kingdom. And so, just recognizing how it all ties together and how important it is to bring together the words that have been spoken in past generations and in present generations, it all flows together.
Yes, that's so good. So you referenced Dutch Sheets, and earlier you talked about how you were listening to podcasts. So for our listeners that love the Government Mountain, what are some podcasts that you could point them towards that you found beneficial to you and in your walk in this?
Yeah, there's some great words going on out there. And so Dutch Sheets is one that I highly recommend as following if you're called to Government Mountain, because I feel like he carries one of the largest authority, mantles of authority for our nation in this current time right now. And he is not easy to find. You can type his name in a podcast and you can find him from various places and just incredible words. But he also, you could go to his website, dutchsheets.org, and he has incredible books and blogs and things that will just continue just to reveal what God's speaking and doing in our nation right now and how we can add our prayers to that or be a part of that. Dr. Lance Wallnau, follow him. Absolutely. He's incredible. He's on Facebook or Periscope, comes on video, live video all the time.
This is true.
Just talking about what our nation's at and what it's needing and what's going on and interviewing people that are have voices towards that. So it's really awesome following those guys.
Perfect. I wholeheartedly agree with both of those recommendations. I'd love to ask your opinion on the following statement. A government of a nation's purpose should be to preserve sovereignty, dispense justice, and protect opportunity. Is there anything that you would add to that, take away, or change?
Absolutely. I agree with that statement completely. Just the leader of the nation has the responsibility to protect, not just what comes in the country or what's going out of the country, but it has to protect the people that are in the country and the people who they are and what they carry. And so the opportunities and the justice that are allowed and that are held high in that underneath that leadership allows for those people to be the fullness of who they are and to carry out into the world the things that they're called to carry. And so I would fully agree with that statement.
Very cool. What advice would you give someone who feels the call to the government mountain?
That's a good question, because it's not like there's like government mountain school really.
Not yet.
Not yet, but working on it, right? And Dr. Lance Wallnau works on that for sure. Couple things that come to my mind is one is to surround yourself with people who will champion who you are. The call to the government mountain is not everybody's call, and it's not something that, like we just talked about, it's not something that's just out there and everybody can identify with that. And so it's so important that when you know who you are, whatever your mountain is, that you surround yourself with people who will champion that and who will help you remember who you are and stand strong in that. And the second thing I would recommend is that just as King David had to strengthen himself in the Lord, if you're going to be called to the government mountain, there's going to be a lot of voices that will try to dissuade that. Just because the government mountain carries that authority and the answers you're bringing, I'm sure on the spiritual level side of things, the enemy's camp doesn't want that released. And so you're going to have to learn how to strengthen yourself in the Lord and abide in him and knowing who you are in him and holding your ground with him and just waiting on the Lord for him. Third thing that I would recommend is just to start decreeing. That's one of the things that tools that I was given in LLBD's training with Dr. Barry Linhart and Dr. Tina Hay is that, man, my words carry so much power. And when I'm speaking out my decrees, man, I'm changing the atmosphere and I'm changing things and I'm creating opportunities because there's power of life and death on our tongue. And so love that. We even have our girls making decrees every morning on the way to school. Like, it's just power in our words. And so, man, let's use that power we've been given and create atmosphere and opportunity. And so absolutely start making decrees about who you are and what you're called to do and where you're going. And then the fourth thing is just to wait on him to open those doors, because he knows more than what we can see. And I think sometimes people get super passionate about what they're called to and they try to go make doors open. And anything that we try to sustain with our own strength or do on our own strength is going to have to be sustained on our own strength. And that is just not something we want to have to deal with. And so waiting for him to open those doors, man, he's the one who can open doors that no one can open. You know, Isaiah 22:22 just talks all about that. Like, he's got the keys to the kingdom. He's got the keys to the government, and he will give those keys and open those doors. Your gifts will make room for you. I think I loved what Dr. Eagle said also on his last podcast with you is that, man, take that time to mature yourself, like mature, do the work of maturing and be faithful where you are. And yes, speak into the future and look towards that, but take this time of where we are right now and allow God to do a completed work in us so that we're ready when the doors are opened, because he's going to open those doors.
So good. That's a download of wisdom right there. You might even want to rewind that and listen to that whole segment again, some dynamic wisdom. So I want to close out by having you tell us about your book, The Rampart, which is available on Amazon.com right now. And I loved how people can take a book like Habakkuk that most people may not have even read, or, you know, just kind of breeze over the story, and yet you're able to just stop and pull out revelation out of that book. And so just share with the people kind of an overview of that book and maybe one of your favorite truths that you get to disclose in that.
Okay, awesome. Well, I was reading Habakkuk, and obviously I, being a government person, I was able to, an intercessor myself, like I was able to relate with him and his passion for his nation, his people. Like, here he is interceding on behalf of his people and asking the Lord, like, okay, you've got the answers. What are you going to come and do for our nation? Like, when is this going to happen? Where are you going to come help? And the Lord's answer to him came in somewhat a form of like a terrorist attack. It was just not the answer he was expecting.
Right.
And so he recognized in that moment that, okay, this doesn't sound like a good God, something a good God would do. And I know you're good. So I know that I cannot move forward in my relationship with you and in who I am until I can reconcile what my heart is feeling right now, that I can't trust you because of this, what you're doing, with what my head knows, you're always good and I can always trust you. And so he actually says in that moment, he says to Habakkuk 2:2, I'm going to climb upon my rampart and I'm going to set myself there. Then I am not going to move from this place until you come and you meet with me and you fix this discrepancy in what my head knows to be true of you, but what my heart is feeling about you in this moment. And man, it just spoke volumes to me, because I think we have a world full of people who at some point or another have had an encounter with God wasn't who I thought he was, or God, why weren't you there? Or if God is supposed to be good, then why? You hear that in just people's words on the media, just anywhere you look, you're hearing that cry of like, what do we do with that? What do we do when we feel like God's done something or didn't do something that we should have done? You know, we felt like he should have been there. And so, man, so this book just birthed out of that and just that place of waiting and contending with the Lord. And so, one of my favorite ones maybe is the chapter called The Octagon, and literally like stepping into the octagon with God. Like, come on now, let's go. Let's go. He talks to Isaiah and he says, come on, let us reason together. You bring your accusations. I'll step in there with you and we'll go for it. Or Jacob at Peniel, you know, where they wrestled. There's just that time when we need to be real with God and go, hey, I don't understand this, or I don't know who you are. I don't feel like I can trust you fully. You know, you prayed for that person to get healed and they didn't. And so next time somebody wants you to ask you to pray for healing, you're like, well, I don't know. It didn't work last time. Does it not work? You know, so there's just all of that. And so I just love being able to seek after the Lord and like, okay, what is he doing in those moments? And what do we do at the rampart times when we're waiting for that transition to take place so that we can move forward? I think a lot of people just hit that place and they just stop. They stop growing in the Lord and their walk. They just can stay content where they are. And God's like, I've got so much more for you, but we've got to go reason together for a little while so we can move forward. So it's just the different things that take place. Maybe there's a season going on in your life that it's the season of winter and it maybe feels like there's no fruit, but there's a lot going on that we can't see. Or maybe it's a season of he's doing something in someone else that's waiting on behalf of what's going on in you. So it's just a waiting place on the Lord and what to do in the midst of the wait and how to move past those cries of our heart when we feel like, man, God, I know you're good, but.
Well said, well said. And I'll put a link to that in the show notes so that they're able to find it on Amazon. Deep Truths in an easy read format. I can't recommend it enough. I give it 5 stars, 2 thumbs up, 10, come on somebody, however you want to say it, but I'd highly recommend it. So last question, from this platform, what would you like to say to the people of the United States of America?
Well, one of the first things I'd like to say is just look up, wow, we're so short-sighted right now, and we're so, it feels like there's just so much contention in the air and there's so much offense in the air that it's just like, man, if we could just lift our eyes up just a little bit above just the right what's in front of us and we could see the bigger picture. We could see that well, one of the things we talked about earlier, that just because we disagree with something doesn't mean that we hate each other, or doesn't mean that we can't coexist, or doesn't mean that we can't even come together at a table and make a solution to a problem. And so I think just, man, if we could just stop and look up, look past ourselves. We're such a very self-focused, selfie society right now. it's one of those things that is keeping us from seeing the greatness in someone else, because we're just so self-focused right now, because we're so bombarded with negative things going around in the air, that if we could just rise above that pollution in the air a little bit and see a bigger picture and just start seeing the value in who each other is, I think that a lot of things would shift off of who, what we're allowing to rob from who we are.
Really good. Where can the people connect with you?
So I have a Facebook page at Vanessa Chavez Ministries, and there's also Community for Country is also on Facebook, and so you can go there to find out just different things that are going on.
Perfect. I'll put links to all of those contacts in the show notes, and I just want to thank you for the interview today.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed that interview as much as I did. Be sure you check out the show notes for links on how to connect with Vanessa Chavez and her products. Also this week, I'd like to give a shout out to Casey Fuller, who's an amazing woman and the host of Are You Real Fit? Check out her latest show. It's got a great interview with Dr. Freeborn Mondello that I think you'll enjoy. I look forward to connecting with you next week. Until then, it's been Dub, it's been Kingdom, and it's been real.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Are You Real Government? For in-depth resources, show notes, information on today's discussion, or to connect with your host personally, please visit areyoureal.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the other podcasts in the Are You Real family. Until next time, thanks for keeping it real with Are You Real Government?